In this story, the school of the prophets had grown to a place where they had needed larger facilities. And as they were in the process of cutting down trees to build their new home, one of the prophets lost his axe head in the river. He becomes distraught because the axe was borrowed. He cries out to Elisha, and the prophet performs a great miracle here as the axe head floats to the surface and the man puts out his hand and picks it up. Now, lest we be too harsh on this poor man who lost his axe head, let's remember that he was engaged in a great work. He is busy. Life is filled with activity, but if there was any flaw, he was working, but he was not watching. And as a consequence, he lost the axe head and was unable to continue his work. He could not continue without it. He had lost the cutting edge. We may look at this story and wonder if there is anything for the Christian church here today. I believe that there is plenty for us to learn. You see, the axe head represents the power to get the job done. No man can chop down trees by flailing at them with just the handle of an axe. It takes the sharp, biting power of the axe head to go through the wood and to fell the tree. In the church, we need to realize that in order to serve the Lord properly, we need our axe head. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to get the job done properly. We will never be able to serve the Lord in the right way. We will never be able to make a dent in this world until we use the Holy Spirit the way God intended for us to use the Holy Spirit. Sadly, the modern church today relies upon its traditions and programs, and for the most part, the cutting edge has been lost. As a result, there's no power in the church, there's no power in the life of the individual saint, and there's no power in anything that we do. We've lost the cutting edge. You know that most of the things that we do, we can do in the power of the flesh. We can do things so well nowadays with our programs and things that we don't even realize sometimes that the Spirit of God is not among us. That we're operating in the power of the flesh and nobody seems to notice the absence of God. And while we may be able to do that and carry on and live our lives apart from the power of God, we will never make the inroads in this world that God wants us to make. We will never be able to serve the Lord in an effective manner until we perform the service in His power alone. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And as we take a few minutes to look at how the situation in our text was handled that day, we can learn some valuable lessons on how we as a church and as us as individuals can apply some of these principles to regain the cutting edge and to live on the cutting edge. And that's my prayer today, that God would help us regain the cutting edge. It's a great time as we start a new year to take inventory and to discover, are we really on the cutting edge or have we lost something? Have we lost part of it or have we lost the cutting edge? So I want to notice the steps involved in recovering the cutting edge today. First of all, it involves concern. It involves concern. If you notice verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, concern, and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. As soon as the axe head fell in the water, he cried out in despair. He knows that he cannot continue the work. He knows that he cannot continue what he is doing until he recovers the axe head. The first step in recovering the power of the Spirit is to come to the place where we know that we don't have it. You know, I'm convinced that many people walk through this life thinking they are filled with the Spirit when they have lost the power and they don't even know it. They are trying to do God's work, but they have lost His power. Trying to do His work in the power of the flesh and not even realizing that He is nowhere around. That's the condition of many modern churches. It's the condition of many modern church people. Kind of reminds me of ancient Laodicea, the church of Laodicea, who many Bible scholars also say corresponds to the Last Day Church. They were poor and blind and miserable and naked, and yet they thought they needed nothing. Reminds me of Samson. And we think that Samson probably lost the cutting edge when he got his hair cut. That's when he lost his strength. But you know what started a long time before that? One day he met a lady by the name of Delilah. She became his downfall. He began to play games with her. She would say, "Samson, if you really love me, you'll tell me where your great strength lies." And he would play games. He would say, "You know, if you tie me with new ropes, I will become as weak as any other man." And so while he was asleep, she would tie him with new ropes. And then she would poke him and say, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee." And he would just wake up and bust those ropes and defeat all the Philistines. But Delilah kept after him. And finally, she convinced him to tell the truth and where his great strength lied. And he told her. And while he fell asleep, she cut his hair. And she woke him and said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee." And Samson thought he would go out and he would just do what he'd always done. But the sad thing is, he didn't even know that the Spirit of God had left. He didn't know that the power of God was gone. He had lost his power and his strength. Here's a man who had once killed a lion with his bare hands. Judges chapter 16, verses 2 and 3 tells this story about him. And it was told the Gazites, saying, "Samson has come hither." And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, "In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, listen to this, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. He was so strong that he took the gate of the city, the post that held the gate, bars and all, put them upon his shoulder and walked away. The strongest man who had ever lived. He had once killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. But when he lost his strength, they put out his eyes and they forced him to grind in prison. He did get his strength back, but only in his death. We need to care enough to search our hearts and lives to discover whether or not we are men and women performing in the power of the Spirit of God. Are we concerned about the presence and the power of God being in the midst of our church? We're always congratulating ourselves on the fact that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in our midst. The Spirit of the Lord is in us. When we show up at church, He shows up at church. But I'm not talking about just His presence today. I'm not talking about the fact that His promise is true and that He's here. I'm talking about His manifest presence, where He makes Himself known. We accept by faith that He's here. His presence is here, but there's a difference between His presence and His manifest presence. We want Him to manifest Himself when God not only shows up, but where He shows out. May the Lord help us to settle for nothing less than the Lord can give us. Secondly, it involves confession. In order to regain the cutting edge, it involves confession. Again, notice verse 5. He cried and said, "Alas, master." Oh, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He confessed. He had lost the axe head. When this man realized that the axe head was gone, he immediately told Elisha what had happened. He confessed the fact that he had lost his cutting edge. By admitting that the axe head was lost, he was also admitting the fact that it became loose and he did not bother to tighten it. After we discover that something is lacking, we must come to the place where we can admit to the Lord and to one another that there is lack, that we've lost something. You know, and that's a hard pill to swallow, to admit that we might have lost something, to admit that we don't have what we once had. But it's necessary if we're going to recover the cutting edge. I think that one of the hardest things for any of us to do is admit a lack. We want everyone to think that we're on top, that we have it all together, and that we need nothing, and that we are in control. And if God moves anywhere, he moves here. And if God speaks to anyone, he speaks to me. But we need to have honest hearts and cry out to God and say, you know, God, I don't have the fire that I once had. I don't have the zeal that I once had. I don't have the love that I first had. I'm not as close to you as I used to be. I need your power working through me in order to get the job done. We need to have honest hearts here this morning that will tell the truth about our condition. Just to come clean with the Lord. You know, he already knows anyway. But simply to come clean before him. You know, we need to relearn the path to the altar. That's what we need to do. Whenever an altar call is given, we need to find ourselves at the altar. We need to relearn that path and get ourselves to the altar. We need his power in our midst, but there's always a price to pay to get it. The price that we pay is confessing our lack of power. Before we will ever regain the cutting edge as individuals and as a church, we must first come to the place where we honestly admit that we can't do it, but God can. When we come to the place of total, absolute dependence and surrender, then I think we'll see his manifest presence. Souls will be saved. We'll see his power in our services. We will experience his power in the church once again. Number three, it involves comprehension. It says, alas, it was borrowed. One of the reasons this man is so upset is because he had lost something that didn't even belong to him. When I borrow things, I try to return them in as good an order as I got them. Sometimes I've had to buy new because I was not able to return it in good order. Just think how this man would have felt. He'd lost something, but what he lost wasn't even his. It was something that was borrowed, given to him to help him in the building. Now, the lost axe head might not seem like a big deal to you and me. We could just go to the store and buy another one. We could go buy a whole bunch of them if we wish. But do you know that for the Israelites, most of the time, the tools and the weapons that they had that were made of iron were very scarce. In fact, that's illustrated by 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 22 when it says, "And it came to pass on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found." They were the only ones that had weapons. Only ones with weapons made of iron. So iron was scarce. He had lost something that was very valuable, something that was very precious, something that he needed in order to work. Plus the fact that it was borrowed would require this man to replace the axe head, which he could obviously not do since he had to borrow it in the first place. The fact that a person would lend this man such a tool when they were so scarce was a sign that the owner of the axe head had trusted this young prophet. And this prophet didn't want to violate his trust. I think the lesson for the church is crystal clear. When we are working for the Lord as we should, we are operating on borrowed power. The power to serve the Lord does not come from within our own human nature, but it only comes from the Lord above. As Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us, "You shall receive power when after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Listen, the Lord wants to give us power to get the job done, but he will borrow that power to us. It's not our power. It's not in our strength. It's not in our might or anything like that. It's all his. And he borrows it to us to get the job done. Now listen, if we have lost that power, there should be some concern here today. There should be some great concern because we just can't go out and get the power. It can only come from God. Many of us take it for granted. May we never come to the place where we act as though nothing can take our power away. May God not be disappointed in us. But may we always keep his trust. And you know, just as surely as the Lord gave the power, he can retract it again. He can take it away again. If we are going to serve the Lord and see eternal results from our service, we must accept the fact that we are unable to do the work within ourselves. We need the power from above. We need borrowed power. Yet, let us also understand that the Lord who freely saves the sinner will also freely give his power to those who seek it and are qualified to receive it. Number four, it involves coming back. Verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He went back to the place where he had lost the power. Thus is true in the spiritual arena as well. Before we can receive the power of God in our lives, in our church, we must go back to where the power was lost. That is, we must uncover the reason why the power has been forfeited. Is it because of some sin that was committed? Is it because our priorities have become misplaced? Is it because we are guilty of trusting the arm of the flesh instead of the power of the Spirit? Where did we lose the power? Where did you lose the power if you've lost it? You can't take it for granted. You can't think it's always going to be there. Samson took it for granted. But there was a point where he began to lose it and a place where he lost it. In your life and mine, if we lose the power, it probably has something to do with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust and pride are powerful things. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, gave in to lust. Samson, the strongest man who ever lived, gave in to lust. Too bad they didn't listen to the counsel of Proverbs 31:3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. You know, this is especially true for you young men, because 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you young men because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Young men here today, God wants you on the cutting edge. You are the strong ones that God wants to use for his honor and for his glory. But you got to know that the devil is going to try to trip you up. Lust will be a powerful thing. Pride will try to creep into your life. Satan will try to destroy you during these years because God knows that these are the years that you can be used for his greatest glory. These are the years of your strength. Give your strong years. Give your best years to God. Not only did Samson and Solomon, but also David, the man after God's own heart, gave in to lust. As far as I can tell, there's only one person in the Bible who was tempted with lust who overcame it, and that was Joseph. He is mentioned as a man who overcame a lustful situation. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he ran for his life. Why was Joseph successful where others had failed? It was because Joseph was a servant. He was in a position of humility. He didn't focus on anything that he had except for the fact that what he had was borrowed. He was a steward of all things. He focused on his profitability. And he knew that if he gave into this lust, if he gave into the sin and the temptation, he would lose his profitability. He'd be good for nothing. I think that's a key way to help us overcome lust and pride in our life, is to see ourselves as a humble servant of God and realize that we can lose the power, we can lose the cutting edge, we can lose our profitability. And there is no greater loss than that. To be used by God is the greatest thing in the world. But if we give in to the temptation, we lose our profitability. What is going to be the greatest thing about heaven? It's seeing Jesus and having him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Focus on your profitability. Focus on the fact that you are God's servant. Humble yourself before him. The Laodicean church was proud. They didn't need anything. But in reality, they were poor. It was interesting that the Bible also says that they were blind. So they were to anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they could see. Samson was also blind. Sometimes people are blind to their needs. Sometimes churches are blind to their needs. They don't know what they have lost. They have lost the power. But we need God's power. We need God's anointing. We need it as individuals and we need it as a church. If we could just all be honest today and pinpoint areas of our lives that stand between us and us having the power of God, the glorious power of God in our lives, we could accomplish much. So what we need to do is we need to backtrack and discover where we got off course, where we started to lose the power. Go back there and make a course correction. When we do, we can prepare for the glory to be returned. Number six, it involves confrontation. In verse 6, he showed him the place and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Cut down part of a tree. Cut down a tree and cast it into the river. And when he does that, the axe head floats to the surface. A miracle occurs when human means are abandoned and divine help is sought. When we come to the place where we acknowledge that we have lost the cutting edge, there is only one way to get it back. There must be a confrontation with the divine. And there must be a tree that's involved. The tree that I'm referring to is the cross of Jesus Christ. When we get serious about dealing with our sins and our shortcomings, the Lord will respond with forgiveness and restoration. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting a stick to make the axe head float sounded like a crazy idea, but it worked. For us to stop trying to do the work of the Lord, but to just step back, place it in His hands, and trust Him completely is difficult. Trusting in a cross to provide for salvation is foolishness to some. Paul said the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the wisdom and power of God. We know that it is the only solution. Listen, if you've lost your power, if you are no longer on the cutting edge, you need to regain the path to the altar and you need to kneel before the cross of Christ, offering confession. You need to have a encounter with the God, a divine encounter today. And number seven, it involves commitment. It involves commitment. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. The last thing this young man did was to reach down and take the axe head in his hand. He was committed to receiving by faith that which the Lord had done. Now that's the end of the story as far as the Bible record is concerned, but I don't think that's really the end of the story. After that young prophet recovered the axe head, I think he probably went back to work. Fell a few more trees. Reattached that axe head to the handle and went back to work. He recovered the cutting edge and was able to do what needed to be done. God has power available to all of us. Who will pay the price and who will reach out and take His Spirit by faith. When we come to the place where we are tired of the same old and are willing to handle our loss of the cutting edge in God's manner, He'll give us the power back so that we can do the work His way. However, those of you who serve the Lord for years know that it's not for the faint-hearted. It's for the faith-hearted. And so I ask today, how committed are we? How committed are you to experiencing God's manifest presence and power in our church and in your life? How committed are you to that? Our level of commitment will be revealed by what we are willing to do to make it become a reality. Everybody wants their denomination. They want their church to be the one to see the fire of God's presence. The truth is that most groups and churches have strengths, but of course with strength comes weakness. And all these groups, our own groups included, we know that we have strengths. We know that we have truths of God's word that we act upon, but we also know that we have some challenges. And so here's a little story, hypothetical story. One day there was a group of people sitting down and having fellowship when all of a sudden somebody ran in and shouted that the building was on fire. Now the groups that I'm going to pick on this morning are groups that I believe that have been on the cutting edge, have a handle of truth, so I'm not knocking anybody this morning. The Baptists said, let's have a water baptism service. The Methodists said, let's discuss the best methods to spread the fire. The Lutherans posted a 5-point thesis about the fire. The Free Methodists said the fire was for everyone. The Salvation Army passed out blankets to minister to the whole person while they sat by the fire. What about our group? The Pentecostals said something about tongues of fire. The Neo-Pentecostals said, let's baptize people in the fire. The Charismatic prayed about the spirit of fire. Some people from Toronto laughed about the fire. The Vineyard people sang songs about lighting the fire again. The Youth Alive sang Kumbaya while holding hands around the fire. While those who served in Christ's power alone from all kinds really started the fire. You see, I want to be one who starts the fire. I want to be one who's on the cutting edge. Of course, there were skeptics who said things like, there never really was a fire. This is the wrong church age or dispensation to have a fire. Fire doesn't really mean fire. The fire burns only overseas. There were others who said, let's appoint a chairman to appoint a committee who would empower a task force to make a written report and turn it into the session for further review. Others said, let's start a Bible study to study the fire. Still others said, let's form prayer groups to pray about the fire. Do you know that that's what's happening today? Where is the cutting edge? We're praying about the fire, we're talking about the fire, but we should be starting the fires. Most of us find the axe head, it's at the bottom of the river, totally beyond our reach and beyond our ability to recover. Can we get it back? Yes, but only if we take the steps that we're given today. Are we willing? That is the first step. The second step is getting before the Lord and dealing with the problem His way. It requires God's grace. First of all, the desire, and secondly, the power to do His will. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, wrote about 13 verses that I have found to Amazing Grace. One of those verses is, not one concern of ours is small if we belong to Him. To teach us this, the Lord of all, once made the iron to swim. It may be just a little thing today that keeps you from being on the cutting edge. It might be just something small, just one small compromise, one small habit, one small priority out of place. It might be just one small thing that keeps you from being on the cutting edge today. But that's not small if it's keeping you from being on the cutting edge. Let's start off the new year, shall we, by being on the cutting edge. Let's be the ones that start the fire. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? As you're sitting here, you don't need to raise your hand yet, but as you're sitting here today, taking inventory and thinking, have you lost the cutting edge? If you want to get it back today, you can. First of all, you need to be concerned about it. Secondly, you need to confess that you've lost it. Thirdly, you need to realize that this is God's power. You need to comprehend that. It doesn't belong to you. It's borrowed. You've lost something that was entrusted to you. Fourthly, it may involve and does involve coming back to the place where you lost it. You may need to ask God, could you show me the place where I lost it? Would you help me to uncover the reason why this power was forfeited in my life? And then it involves confrontation with the divine. You're going to need to walk the altar. You're going to need to come before a cross. Confess. Confess your sins. Then God brings restoration. But then realize that it'll also take commitment. Because if the Lord gives it back to you, you need to take it and use it for His glory. How committed are you to experiencing God's manifest presence and power in your life? Heavenly Father, we do come humbly before you today. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit today would search our hearts, that we would see ourselves today as we really are, that we would throw aside all pretense. But Lord, we would see ourselves as you see us today. But Lord, we pray for your grace today. We pray for your grace, the desire and power to do your will, the desire and power to get the job done. Lord, we don't want to go through another year without the power. We want to be on the cutting edge of all that you are doing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed here today, how many of you would admit to the Lord that you've lost the cutting edge? Could you just raise your hand up and down? Lord, I admit, I've lost the cutting edge. I don't have what I used to have, but I want to get it back. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to stand, would you, and come to the altar. Make the path to the altar today. Come and stand or kneel if you raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to join those at the altar today, you want to regain the cutting edge, would you do that, please? This alone is a step of humility. But it's humility that the Lord honors. Come and stand, come kneel. But I want you to have a divine encounter today with the Lord. Those of you that are here this morning, would you just ask the Lord to take you back to where you might have lost it? Come before the cross today. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. And ask Him to restore it. Lord, we come to this altar today. Lord, we have taken the humbling walk to the path to the altar and to the cross. We come before you today realizing, Lord, that we have lost our cutting edge, and alas, it was borrowed. Lord, we confess that today. Lord, show these people where they might have lost it. Take them back there now. And as we go back there, we offer confession that we lost it. We confess our sins to you. We confess that our priorities have not been right. We confess the compromises that we have made in our life. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us. Lord, you and your faithfulness, you and your righteousness would forgive us. Cleanse us from this unrighteousness. And then, Lord, today I pray that you would restore the power in their life. Lord, that once again they would be on the cutting edge. Once again, they wouldn't be those that are simply sitting around the fire and talking by the fire, but Lord, they would be the ones out there starting the fires. Lord, we covet today your manifest presence. We know that you are here, but Lord, show yourself. Show yourself through us. Work out of our lives that which is pleasing to your sight, that which would bring honor and glory to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Was blind, but
Amen. We are not going to have a prayer meeting this afternoon, so what I would like to do, one thing about chili, it gets better the longer it cooks. So these altars are open for those of you that would like to spend further time in prayer, but then also if you would like to be prayed for, I just invite you to come. I asked my wife to come. I'd like to pray for her today. And then if anybody else would like to come, we'll just stay up here and have a little prayer meeting. The rest of you can go down and start eating chili. If you want to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. You decide what you'd like to do. But these altars are open, and anybody would like prayer, we'd like to pray for you today. All right? God bless you. Father, we ask your blessing upon the food and the fellowship downstairs. Bless it. Strengthen our bodies with it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.